Okay, good morning, everybody. My name's Sarah, and I'm an incredibly grateful member of the Worldwide Fellowship of Al-Anon and Alateen. And I just realized I said my last name. I'm so used to that. I am not anonymous within the fellowship, and we protect people's anonymity, but we are not an anonymous fellowship. We want people to find us so we can carry the message of hope to family and friends of alcoholics. Okay, so this morning's workshop is going to be on Concept 9. I think we're going to start off by having a little skit, and this skit was written by a friend of mine from Oklahoma, and she has written skits for years, and I think she's got over 40-something years in the fellowship, and she's kind of known as the skit writer. So if those of you that are in the skit will come forward, we'll do that. We have not practiced one time. I don't even know who the skit people are. But it's going to be fun.
Welcome to our meeting. Before we begin, are there any questions?
I have a question I'd really like to ask. It's been bothering me, but I just don't know if I should ask.
Go ahead. Don't be scared. We're all here to share our experience, strength, and hope.
Well, I've been coming to Al-Anon for several years now, and I hear about the steps and the traditions. But last week, I visited another group, and they talked about the Al-Anon logo. They said it's a triangle. One side is recovery with the steps, and one side is unity with the traditions. Well, I asked about the third side, and they said it was for service with the concepts, but they didn't want to talk about it. They said the concepts were like ghosts. Even if you knew a ghost was around, you would never admit it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Concepts must be pretty scary.
Y'all know how much I like to read, and I've read a lot of ghost stories lately. Sometimes there are friendly ghosts, though they're not always bad.
You might be right. After all, there's a cartoon character named Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Well, maybe you have to be an Al-Anon member for many, many years and have to pass some kind of test before anybody tells you about the concepts.
It seems to me I've heard more about the concepts lately than I used to.
Almost all the groups have the steps and traditions banners on their walls, but I've noticed lately some groups are displaying the concept banners too.
I listened to the delegate's report some years ago, and she said that until she became the delegate, she had never studied the concepts. Those 12 little ghosts just jumped out at her at her first WSC. And when she went back home, she began trying to learn about them.
But how? How did she learn about the concepts if nobody would talk about them?
There's a section in the service manual about the concepts, but I've never read it because someone told me it was too hard to understand.
Well, this delegate read the service manual, but also found some old forum magazines that dealt with the concepts. Then the WSO printed the pamphlet called Al-Anon's Best Kept Secret, using the articles in those forum magazines.
Have you noticed our new book, Paths to Recovery, has a whole section devoted to the concepts? Maybe it's time to investigate these little ghosts that nobody wants to talk about. We might find out they are friendly ghosts.
I come to Al-Anon for recovery. That's the steps. Are you sure we need those concepts?
Well, I have found myself using the traditions in my daily life along with the steps, and that delegate I was telling you about said she had discovered using the steps, traditions, and concepts helped her in all areas of her life.
I have a surprise for you all. Our DR is here, and she's going to lead us in a workshop.
Okay, so Concept 9 says good personal leadership at all service levels is a necessity. In the field of world service, the Board of Trustees assumes the primary leadership. And I can't tell you how many meetings I've been in, and people's like, and what does that have to do with me? Right? I just want to come to meetings. I just want my life to change because it's been affected by the disease of alcoholism, and I might want to carry the message to others that I've been given, right? What does Concept 9 have to do with me? And Concept 9 has everything to do with you. Every concept has everything to do with every one of us. So I'll give you a little bit of background about me. I don't want to tell too much, just because that's what I'm supposed to do tonight. But my recovery began January 14th, 2001. I was 16 years old. My family had been incredibly damaged by the disease of alcoholism. I loved my dad extremely a lot. I had a problem with his drinking. I would have sworn to you he wasn't an alcoholic, because in my limited understanding, alcoholic was viewed as that Skid Row bum, and that wasn't our family. And I'm from a small town. There are four of us. I'm the oldest of four girls. It's like having three families. My younger sister is 16 years younger than I am, and then there's one in between the two of us older ones. So alcoholism was not viewed as something that we're going to recover from. It was viewed as very negative. And so when I walked into the rooms of Alateen at 16 years old and basically was told my dad was an alcoholic, I was extremely furious and resentful and had no desire to be here. As I'll share tonight, my friend brought me to the fellowship. We coined the phrase Alicrap, and we wanted nothing to do with the program. I always share when I share my story that her parents got sick of our crap and they brought us. And what I can tell you is the last almost 19 years of my life has been an unbelievable journey. That's been a series of one days at a time. That in my limited view, I was ready to walk away. The gifts that I've been given, I'll never be able to repay. On my way here, the airplane had no Wi-Fi. How about that? and so the flight attendants was like, it's just about good old-fashioned conversation. And I couldn't have had a better row of row mates. There was three of us, and we just had good old-fashioned conversation. And, you know, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? I'm like, well, I'm going to a workshop. Well, what does that mean? And so I got into it, and the lady in the middle is like, oh, my gosh, I have goosebumps. And I said, no, you just don't understand. I said, I'm going there to share, but I'll take away more than I'm ever able to give. And that's what Al-Anon service is about. That's what Al-Anon is about in general. I mean, my sponsor told me from day one, Sarah, you can't keep it if you don't give it away. And I am certainly by no means an expert on anything in the fellowship or the concepts. I can just share with you what I've been given. And I was telling Kim on the way over here, I probably shouldn't say this on the CD, but I'm going to anyway. But I was telling Kim on the way over here, I was in this situation it's been 3 or 4 years ago, where my sponsor lived 4 hours away. And that's just what I needed to do. And I would go every other weekend and spend that amount of time with my sponsor just because I was in a rut in my recovery. And so I sat in this meeting one time, and it was full of seasoned Al-Anon members. I used to say old people. That did not go well for me. but it was full of seasoned Al-Anon members. And I think the average age in the fellowship was like 40-something years in the program. And all of my arrogance, I sat there and I thought, I just don't belong here with these people of 40 years. And as the sharing went around, some people shared some things, and this one lady was talking about God and making amends to God, and somebody said, well, what does that mean anyway? This has nothing to do with the workshop, but we'll get there. What does that mean anyway? And so this lady with 40-something years says, you know, every time I doubt God, I owe God an amends. Right. And I was like, okay, Sarah knows nothing. Okay. And so then it goes around to the next seasoned member, and she says this. She says, rationalization and justification are like two forms of mental masturbation. And she said, and I surely screw myself every time.
Could you repeat that?
Right. For real? Rationalization and justification are like two forms of mental masturbation, and I surely screw myself every time. And I was like, are you kidding me? And if that wasn't enough, I thought she was staring at me because it's all about me. And later to find out she's blind and wasn't looking at me at all. And so this is what she says to me after the meeting, is that she said, you know, Sarah, she said, I just got back from an international trip. She said, I'm blind. I'm 80-something years old. I love Al-Anon. And I toured international to visit meetings across the country. Right. And I'm sitting here thinking, and I don't belong here. What's wrong with me? Right? That's what always has happened in my journey. It's been a series of events where my ego's always gotten me in trouble. And the very places I think I don't belong is the places that's absolutely saved my life and given me more gifts that I'll be able to give back. So I don't know why I told you that story, I guess because we were talking about it on the way over here. Concept 9, this workshop came from my friend and I wrote it. It was based on some things that were going on in our area. How could we be more of service to the area? How could we bring more effective leadership? So we wrote the workshop based on how we could bring more continuity to the area. And as I started getting into it and started researching it and started understanding more about what Concept 9 meant, I was like, oh my God, we could do so much more with this personally. And so my hope is that we focus on some of the personal stuff about good personal leadership today. And as we go through some of it, we'll talk about some of the service aspects as well. Initially, when I printed this, I put only the personal sections on there, but I've changed it to where it has the personal and the service. So those of you that are active in service, maybe it will help you in your service roles as well. So what is leadership? And I love Google because Google knows everything. And this is the only non-conference approved stuff that I'll use, but you know, it says that leadership has nothing to do with seniority or one's position. You know, growing up in the disease of alcoholism, the one that was the loudest and talked the longest won the fight, right? And so that's what I knew when I got here. Leadership isn't management. If I could manage you, I would be okay. I believe growing up in the disease of alcoholism that my survival depended on my ability to manage people, places, and things. So what is leadership? The only definition of a leader is someone who has followers. And I think that could be subjective, and I don't want to go too far into that. And it's not necessarily about followers. It's about giving away what we've been given. Right? It's action is attraction. That was the theme of our conference one of the years as I was delegate. It's about giving away everything that Al-Anon has given me. And so if it wasn't attractive, you wouldn't want it. Right? If Al-Anon wasn't attractive when you walked in here day one, you wouldn't have stuck around all these years. And so many people will say, well, what does that have to do with leadership? Well, we sponsor people. Right? Every one of us in here has probably sponsored somebody. We've got to be the very best leaders we can be as we carry the message to those people who are extremely hurting in the active disease of alcoholism. So we'll just get into it. On the front page, it says, good personal leadership through self-discipline and our own recovery leads to good personal leadership in our home. And what we'll do is we're just going to walk through this worksheet together. And there'll be times where I'll stop and ask for sharing. There'll be times where I'll stop and ask you guys to share in a table. And I know Tracy is going to cut it off as other people come to the mic. I do want to point out one thing on page 2, where it starts talking about the strategic plan priorities of AFG Inc. I am not a trustee at large, and I'm not going to talk about that on CD. I didn't realize the workshop would be recorded, so feel free to take it. I put it in here because it talks about vision and goals and all of those things, but I do not feel comfortable. I think that's kind of out of my element since I'm not a trustee. But back to the first page, it says you can't be an effective leader until you know who you are. The only place I learned who I was through the 12 steps. You know, I had all these ideas about who I was, but all those ideas about who I was the things that I learned when I was surviving, right? They were character assets that were masked as character defects. Those were the things that were in my step 6 list and humbly asking God to remove in my step 7. Those were the things that defined me. Those were the things that were comfortable, that I was comfortable with. If you took me out of those character traits that weren't very effective, it was like a fish out of water. I had no idea how to function or be anything. Those things helped me survive. So you can't be an effective leader until you know who you are. And I can tell you, I brought those things to Al-Anon service and they didn't do much for me besides cause a lot of trouble. Mm-hmm. And when I share my story tonight, I'll talk about some of that, what some of those character traits, it gave me some of the greatest gifts I've ever experienced, but it was through a lot of pain. In the Al-Anon service structure. So I'll talk about a little bit of that. How are you going to lead others if you can't lead yourself? And it's not a beat-up question. It's just food for thought. When we get here, we all are doing the very best we can with the tools that we have and our limited vision, because we're busy. We're busy trying to manage the disease of alcoholism. And I don't know about anybody, any of you all, but I lost who I was in the disease of alcoholism. I believe that when I was born, God had this great plan for Sarah, and I was given these character traits and these things and these skills. And when the disease of alcoholism came into our lives, everything I was learning to do became the way I survived, right? I keep saying the way I survived, but that's what's on my mind, is just that survival. All those good intentions and good skills that God gave me got masked by the things that I thought I needed to make it through. So today our goal is to develop some tools through the program so we can go from reactive leadership to responsive leadership in our personal lives, our home, and inside the service structure. So I put down a couple tools that worked well for me before the program, and I thought this was leadership. Just some common misconceptions. Number one, trying to solve problems we don't understand, right? Because when you have all the answers, you can solve anything. Or in my case, it was the illusion that I had all the answers. Number two, dragging our families around everywhere. We're going to go find them. That's going to solve something. We're going to find her. We're going to find it. We're going to find the problem. Probably the most important one to me is everything is a crisis, right? Making mountains out of molehills. Everything was a crisis. The next one, no solutions existed, or the solutions were grandiose. Nothing could be in the middle. Nothing could be a simple solution. It had to be a big, extravagant solution, or it couldn't be a possible workable solution. And the disease of alcoholism was leading us. So just take a second to think about, are there any tools before the program that any of you have practiced that we might want to add to the list? And if you want to just speak it out, I can repeat it.
Dominance,
yeah?
Throwing a really big tantrum.
Throwing a really big tantrum. I know that one really well.
Manipulation.
Self-righteousness. I think we got a pretty good list.
Judgmental?
Yeah, being judgmental. Awesome. So, well, you all are writing it down. I don't need to write it down. Okay, so if you go to the other side, for me, after I've worked some of the 12 steps, or all of the 12 steps, some of the leadership tools that the 12 steps gave me is what I have listed here. And there's so many more that we could list and, but one of them is the 12 steps gave me the ability to listen, right? I can't make informed decisions unless I've listened to everyone around me. And if we want to bring the concept in there, we can talk about concept 5. It talks about the minorities, right? The minority always has a point. I may not like it, but they have a point. And, you know, growing up in the disease, the minority couldn't possibly have anything good to say. And what I have found over the years, especially being at the World Service Conference and extremely active in service, is I can't tell you how many times when the minority has found the courage to voice their opinion, it changes everything. So I have the ability to listen. The three A's, I've gained awareness, acceptance, and action. And the hang up for me, I don't know about anybody else, but I was extremely aware, and then we were going straight to action. And what happened is in that piece of skipping the acceptance, I couldn't get right with my higher power. And so the action was driven by many forms of selfishness and self-centeredness. And God was nowhere to be found. So of course it was my solutions, back to that other list. Gathering information and then deciding. You know, one of the tools that many of you may have experienced if you've been in Al-Anon service at the assembly is, you know, Al-Anon has knowledge-based decision-making processes, gathering all the information before we can make an informed decision. And this one time I was looking for a sponsor, and I had this all planned out. I'd been in Kansas City, and I gave a workshop on knowledge-based decision-making, and I was gonna ask this chick to be my sponsor, and I just knew she would tell me yes, right? And so she turned around, she goes, well, why don't you go back and do some knowledge-based decision-making on finding a sponsor? I was like, seriously? And I'm telling you, the things that I found by doing that, one of the questions is, what do I wish I knew? What do I wish I knew that I don't know? And there was so much about sponsorship that I wished I knew that I didn't know. And it doesn't mean that I don't trust my higher power. There was just more that I wished I knew. There's so much more in my life when I'm making informed decisions about money, about sex, about life, about whatever. There's so many things that I wished I knew. And I can put it on paper and I can ask the questions. And when I know those answers, I can make a more informed decision instead of a snap judgment. Tools developed through working a program, working the steps. I don't care what the problem is, the solution is in the steps. It's in one of the 12 steps. Using the traditions as our guiding principles and learning the concepts. You know, what I love about the steps, traditions, and concepts is it does balance that triangle out that they were talking about in the skit. You know, the three-legged stool is unbalanced without one of the legs. And, you know, what I was told in the beginning when I walked in the doors that, Sarah, the steps are for you. They teach you all about you. The traditions teach you how to play with others, and the steps teach me how to be of, or the concepts teach me how to be of service to my family, to you all, to the world. And there was a big important piece that I missed early on when it came to the concepts. I learned how to be of service to you, and I learned how to be of service to the world. I didn't learn how to be of service to my family, and the concepts have taught me that in these latter years of my recovery. So let's go to page 2. It says, every good leader generally has visions and goals in mind. And if you look at the service manual, I just want to point out the board vision and the board mission. And the vision statement for Al-Anon is, all people affected by someone else's drinking will find help and recovery in every community. That's our goal. As a worldwide family of Al-Anon family groups, that's our goal, is that anybody affected by somebody else's drinking will find help. And our mission statement is to anticipate the future and Al-Anon's place in it and ensure that the necessary resources are available. And so our trusted servants are doing that. They're giving us the resources that we need to be able to carry the message. And so then the question is, where do I come in? I'm the person that carries the message. We're the people that carry the message. Are we equipped to do that? You know, there was many years in my recovery where I wasn't carrying a message, I was carrying a mess, right? I thought I was carrying a message, but it wasn't a message. It was my limited understanding of what Al-Anon really was. It was me sharing only parts of recovery. It was just a mess. No, I can't say people didn't benefit from it, right? Somebody probably benefited from something. But it was only me being willing to participate in half measures. So, okay, so here's the first question. And if you guys want to talk about it as a table, and then we'll take one person sharing. Do you have goals and visions for your recovery? Do you have goals and a vision for your family? Thought for you all is, do you have goals and vision for your district, group, or area position? Do you have goals and visions for being a trusted servant? And if so, what are those goals? And if you don't have them currently, what can you do to set those goals? And it could be as simple as talking to somebody and gathering more information and seeing what it's like for them. Okay, we'll go to page 3. Okay, so in the essay, Bill Wilson's essay in leadership that is part of Concept 9, in our service manual. These following quotes are in there. It says, "No society can function well without able leadership at all levels, and we are no exception. However, sometimes we warp the traditional idea of principles above personalities. To such a point, there would be no personality in leadership, whatever. At other times, we may demand that our leaders be people of the most sterling judgment, morals, and inspiration. Real leadership, of course, has to function between these entirely imaginary poles." And that last quote that it talks about, it has to function between these entirely imaginary poles. I think about it all the time, and I'm like, how does that even exist? And in a couple pieces of our literature, when it starts talking about the traditions, I know it's in the 12 and 12, I know it's in the service manual, I was reading it this morning, it talks about being obedient to the unenforceable. That's the answer. No one's going to make me do anything. But I have to have the desire to function within the structure that I've been given, whether it's in my family or Al-Anon or church or any organization that we belong to. And that's not how I grew up, right? I needed you to tell me what to do. And I didn't have the character to do something different. Al-Anon's given me the skills to function between those entirely imaginary poles without an iron fist. And so how do we apply principles before personalities in our home and our recovery? So here are some questions to ponder. Okay, do I place our parents and grandparents on a pedestal? What about my sponsor? And I can tell you about that one. I placed my sponsor on a pedestal. I thought that she was the greatest sponsor in the entire world. I loved her more than anything until she fell off the pedestal. Nobody made her get up there. I put her there. And when it was time for me to change sponsors, I knew I would never be able to find another sponsor, because I had unrealistic expectations of what sponsorship was all about. Do I treat my children equally, even when one is easier to get along with than the other? Ooh, that's a tough one. Has working the steps and traditions helped me set goals for myself and my family? So I was at the conference a couple years ago, and we were talking about minorities in Al-Anon, different minority groups. Are there people in my group that I discount their shares because? Could fill in the blank. And I'll be the first one to say, over the last 19 years, when so-and-so has said something, as soon as they open their mouth, I've shut down. I'm not alone in saying that. Every one of us could probably say that at one point in our recovery or not. However, the legacies has given me tools to understand that, you know, everyone has an equal voice. I don't have to like them personally. I don't even have to be their friend, but I have a responsibility to listen. Because I guarantee you, if your God is like my God, it's those people that God's sending me the messages through. Every single time, those people are the ones that God's giving me the messages through. Are there people in my group that I think...